It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. Sometimes medicine is miraculous. 50 years ago, a cancer diagnosis meant likely death. Today, many cancers can be cured, and some cancers can be prevented. Among them are cancers associated with the human papillomavirus, which causes a handful of them. All it takes is a series of two or three vaccines, but many teens don't get them, and many health providers don't insist. Dr. James Conway is frustrated by this. He is the Associate Director for Health Sciences at UW-Madison's Global Health Institute. More specifically, he is a pediatric infectious disease specialist who works with programs both domestically and globally to improve the lives of children. And one of his areas of focus is improving systems for prevention by strengthening immunization programs. Dr. Conway joins us now. Welcome, sir.
Good morning.
So let's talk first about just what is HPV?
So HPV, or human papillomaviruses, are a whole collection of viruses. There's well over 100 of them, and they're incredibly common. Most people are infected at some point during their life, and they're really only transmissible in most situations from person to person.
And is it always sexually transmitted, or are there other ways that it can be transmitted?
Oh, no, they're much more readily transmitted, and they're much more common. For instance, plantar's warts, which many people have experienced, are actually caused by a type of human papillomavirus. People that get laryngeal polyps and things in their mouths and throats are generally caused by HPV as well. So they're not just by sexual activity. They're really by any kind of skin or mucosal contact between people.
And can all of the various HPV varieties cause cancer?
No, there's a smaller group of them that are typically associated with cancers. The other ones cause things like genital warts and planner's warts and things like that. So there's just a few of them that are, at this point at least, known to cause most of the cancers that we see.
And do we know how many people in this country have those few that cause the cancers?
We do, and that was part of what, as people were trying to figure out the best approach to using these vaccines. You know, we know that there's probably about 79 million Americans currently that are already infected by HPV. There's probably about 14 million new HPV infections every year, and they're most common in young adults and teenagers.
The vaccine, we've figured out a vaccine. What does it do? Does it 100% prevent cancer?
So these vaccines have been around for a while, and they've evolved. I mean, the first ones came out in 2006. And basically what they do is they provide the human body with the idea that it's already seen these viruses, and so it develops immunity that then when it is confronted by one of these viruses, it can fight it off.
When are we supposed to get this? And I guess let's get to the nitty-gritty here. Why aren't people getting it?
Yeah, it's interesting, and I think that, you know, there's a lot of different issues with these. So the vaccines are routinely recommended for all adolescents at 11 and 12 years of age. Originally, when they came out, they were recommended to be three doses. The age range that people are eligible for these are ages 9 to 26. Are sort of the key ages. We really would strongly recommend that people complete their immunization series before their 13th birthday, because we know that that essentially predates most of the types of activity where people will come into contact with these kinds of viruses, whether it's actual true sexual intercourse or just close contact with others. So the idea is really to be fully immunized by the time you're 13. The good news that we found over some time was that we only really need two doses as long as you get the vaccines before you're 15, because the immune system just has such a better response to these things. And so that's yet another incentive to get started early. And, you know, I think when you ask about why people have been slow to embrace these, I mean, I think there was some hesitancy in the beginning. It was a new model of a vaccine. And although there were two other vaccines that came out at the same time, the Tdap vaccine, which is the one that everybody gets primarily as a tetanus and a whooping cough booster at 11 and 12 years of age, mm-hmm. and then the meningococcal vaccines, they all came out in 2006. But I think those vaccines were sort of improved models of vaccines that had been around for a long time. This was really a new thing, and so I think there was a little bit of hesitancy in the beginning. The other thing was that it was originally just earmarked for young women. And so I think there was also some hesitation just because it seemed like such a strange thing to only recommend it for one part of the population. And as we've studied things more, we realize that HPV affects males and females quite a bit. There's, you know, almost 10,000 cervical cancer cases every year caused by HPV, but there's also almost 9,000 oropharyngeal cancers, primarily in males, that are caused by HPV. So we finally realized after a few years that this was a vaccine that actually should be broadly offered for everybody and should be equitably available for everybody. And so that's sort of how things evolved over the first couple of years after the vaccine first came out. So by 2010, it was really a routine recommendation that all males and females should get it.
And yet that doesn't seem to be happening. What's the vaccination rate in this state?
Vaccination rate for people, for young women, you know, we're probably seeing about 50% of them have gotten their some of their vaccines, but only about 40% of young women have actually completed their series. Some systems are better than others, but, you know, we really have a long way to go. If you compare it to the Tdap immunization rates that are, you know, well over 90%, and the meningococcal rates, you know, even without a school entry requirement, are around 85%. So we really have some work to do.
So Tdap, though, is a school requirement. HPV is not. Are you working to make that happen?
I think there's a lot of discussion about that. You know, I mean, similarly, there's no school requirement for the meningococcal vaccines either. Mm-hmm. And it's been interesting that people, I think just because it's a scary disease, even though it's incredibly rare, you know, people have been much more willing to go that route. The HPV vaccines, you know, like I said, I'm a little frustrated and, you know, sometimes even baffled. I mean, we've got a vaccine that actually can prevent one of the more common causes of cancers in males and females, and in some ways should be a no-brainer. I mean, it could really change an entire generation. And I think, like I said, it was a new model of a vaccine. I think part of the problem actually goes along with the age groups and who does the vaccines, because, you know, if you think about when people show up with their HPV cancers, it's usually in their 30s and 40s and 50s. And so I think there was a little bit of a disconnect for the pediatricians who were largely the ones vaccinating, that they don't have the experience with the disease itself. And I think it's a lot easier when you're talking to somebody about a vaccine and say, oh, yeah, I've seen pertussis, it's terrible. You know, I've seen meningococcus, it's horrible. It's a little harder for pediatricians because they don't really see the disease. And so I think, you know, in the beginning, we realized that we needed to do a lot more education for the providers themselves to make sure they understood the disease, because this was really a new thing that was kind of dumped on their lap.
And insurance pays for this, yes?
Oh, insurance pays for it. The Vaccines for Children program that underwrites vaccines for underserved populations pays for it. This is a routinely covered, nobody should be having to pay out of pocket for anything like this.
So as we're going back to school and parents are taking their kids, especially their 11, 12, 13-year-old kids in, they should also add the HPV vaccine to the vaccines that they're getting to go to school.
Absolutely. I mean, this should basically be a routine for every kid. I think every kid deserves the opportunity to be able to prevent cancer in their lives, and that's really what this is all about. And, you know, you can start as early as age 9 to get started so that you have the best opportunity to complete this. But this is really something that I think every kid deserves to have the opportunity to have. And, you know, parents need to push their providers as much as providers need to be routinely recommending this with all the other routine vaccines that, you know, really can change an entire generation.
James Conway is the Associate Director for Health Sciences at UW-Madison's Global Health Institute. He focuses on improving systems for prevention by strengthening immunization programs, and HPV is one of the immunization programs that he wants more people to get. Dr. Conway, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.